Welcome to Informed Aging, a podcast about health, help, and hard decisions for older adults. I'm Robin Roundtree, a former family caregiver. I worked in the home care industry and now work for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Resource Center. With me is my co-host, Edith Gendron. She is the executive director for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Resource Center. Not only that, she's got about 40 years of experience in the industry. She's a positive approach to care, certified trainer, and consultant as well. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast belong to Edith and I, not our wonderful employers and sponsors. So if you want to get mad at us and not at them. Please, before making any significant changes in your life or your person's life, please consult your own experts. Today, we're getting into home care and veterans' benefits. So if you love a veteran, you need to stay tuned. Senior Helpers is the only home care agency offering a revolutionary new way to approach senior care, the Life Profile Assessment. This data-based app is a crucial tool in helping seniors age safely and successfully at home. Combined with our proven in-home care programs and trained caregivers, Senior Helpers Life Profile is leading the way to better outcomes for our clients. For more information, log on to seniorhelpers.com/Orlando.
For over 37 years, the Alzheimer's and Dementia Resource Center has served as a Central Florida-based grassroots nonprofit and community resource center dedicated to providing support and hope for families and individuals caring for someone they love who is living with Alzheimer's disease or other dementia-related illness. The ADRC empowers caregivers with the knowledge, support, skill, and strategies through a variety of programs to help them confidentially prepare for the challenges that lie ahead. To learn more, visit their website at adrccares.org. That's adrccares.org.
We are back today. We're talking to Kim Lee of Flourish in Place. He has a home care company, but he started off in law. So we're going to get into that, but how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great, great. Thanks so much for being here. So how did you make the transition from law to home care?
It wasn't easy. I didn't just start off in law. I was in law for 33 years.
Wow.
Working, doing commercial litigation for a large Orlando firm, and then I went to a company, Rotech Healthcare. I was in-house lawyer for them, and that's a national durable medical equipment and home oxygen company.
Okay.
And that position ended when I was 57, and thought I would go be general counsel someplace else.
Okay.
But after some soul searching, I ultimately decided that I wanted to have my, final chapter be something entirely different that I care about.
Nice.
And decided to start a business. We had had parents. My mother had Alzheimer's disease and cared for her in the home. And my wife is guardian for her older, intellectually disabled sister. And we had used agencies that we weren't always happy with. And I thought, maybe naively, this is something we could do. And there's lots of need. And
yes.
Easier to feel closer to your purpose than in corporate law, honestly.
I would agree with that. Absolutely. So let's just go over the difference really basically. We talked recently about home health, which is a more medical thing that comes to your home, like physical therapy, occupational therapy. How is that different than home care?
It's really completely different, except the terminology, which is terribly confusing in Florida. We're a home care agency or a private duty agency, Flourish in Place is, but Florida, for licensure purposes, calls us a home health agency, non-medical. But really, it's completely different.
Not a sexy title.
No. Home health generally refers to agencies that are Medicare certified that take a Medicare benefit for payment. It's normally most often when someone is returning from a hospitalization for rehabilitation, and as you say, that they get different kinds of skilled care, skilled nursing, physical therapy, occupational therapy, other things, and Medicare pays for that. Medicare does not pay, however, for long-term care in the home, which is what a home care agency does, also called a private duty agency. It should, perhaps someday it will. Ours is supervised by an RN, and it's usually a home health aide or a certified nursing assistant, HHA or CNA, that provides care on an hourly basis. That can be a lot of different things, but we refer to them in the industry as ADLs, activities of daily living. That's hands-on personal care with things like dressing, grooming, bathing,
toileting,
incontinence care, transfers. That's the basic list. And then they're not limited to doing those hands-on personal care things. They do a lot of other things that people need.
Like cooking, cleaning.
Driving, transportation to appointments or even social events, companionship.
That's big. Different,
there are just many things that people need and become less able to do, but they want to still live in their homes as independently as possible.
Right. And this is a big thing that comes up is people are like, oh, mom needs help in the home. Who can be here? And they think Medicare will pay for it. And then there's that harsh reality that it's not. And it's not inexpensive to have one-on-one care. And I know in Central Florida right now in early 2024, it's about $32 to $35 an hour. Does that sound about right?
That's about right.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
varies.
That can be quite a bit. But there's a little bit of hope for veterans. Tell us about the assistance that's out there for veterans.
Sure. And I do know a fair amount about this because early on, I decided being an attorney, I would become a VA accredited attorney. And I did that. But I learned that it is so just paperwork intensive that I never actually do the applications myself. But there's what you're referring to now is commonly called the VA aid and attendance pension benefit. So do you want me to go through kind of what the basics are to qualify for that?
Right. It's not for everybody.
No, this is for veterans or surviving spouses of veterans, but it's a great benefit for care in the home, and it can also pay for assisted living. So it's really both, because some people transition the benefit when they can no longer stay in the home. I like to tell people there's three basic requirements. First, that the person or their spouse, if the spouse has passed away, spouse at the time of their death, was an honorably discharged veteran during a time of war. And there are certain dates that the government deems were the times of war. They don't quite match the history books, but there's dates that can easily be Googled, and you need to show by the discharge paper. In World War II, it was not called this, but after that, it's always been called the DD-214. Okay. It's a form that if you're a veteran and you were discharged, they hammered into you, do not lose this form. Some people don't have it anymore anyway.
Right.
And it can still be found. It's just a process,
time.
But you have to have the form. It has to show service. You're in the active military, not the reserves.
Okay.
You're in the active military service for 90 days. And one of those days was during these wartime dates.
And you didn't have to be in combat, correct?
That's correct, except for there's exceptions with all this stuff. If you served in the early years of the Vietnam War, you did have to have boots on the ground in Vietnam.
Okay.
But if you were a Vietnam era veteran later on, that's not necessary.
Could have been a cook in Kentucky during wartime, but still get the benefit.
Right. If you were a cook for the Army,
right.
Or not just the Army, the different branches
right.
of government.
Right. And then you have to need the assistance, correct?
Right. So I said three requirements. The first, the military service on the right dates, honorable discharge. Second is the need, and the VA has a form for that. It is basically that you need the assistance of another person with two activities of daily living. It doesn't read that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, we partner with a group that helps you, helps the doctor fill out the form. We interview the person and fill out the form and have the doctor sign it. Doctors are kind of notorious for just giving a couple word answers to the questions and then signing the bottom. And that won't cut it for the VA. It really has to lay out, you know, why assistance of another person is needed. So that's the second requirement. The third requirements are the most complicated. They're all financial.
Okay.
So this is a, Congress has deemed that this is a benefit for veterans and surviving spouses of veterans who are below a certain asset level, have less than a certain number of assets, and have a net income that varies depending on what the benefit amount is. So that's the more the most complicated part, but just to basically take listeners through that, the asset test, it's, I think, $159,000 now, right around that. For your total assets, or if a veteran's married, then it's the joint assets, the total joint assets. It does not count your home. If you own a home and you live in it,
okay,
doesn't count. That's a lot of times people's biggest asset, right? Mm-hmm. So that helps. And doesn't count cars or personal property. But the VA wants to know and see everything else. So they require to collect your bank account and see what's in there and any other assets that you have, whether it's other real estate or cash value of life insurance, or you have a stock portfolio, all of anything that qualifies as an asset, they add it up and it needs to be less than the amount.
So honestly, this sounds more complicated than doing your taxes.
Yes, I would say so.
So how do you figure all this out, Joe Schmo, the veteran? I know some people will charge over $1,000 to help you.
Oh, way over some people.
Yes. Can they call you and get help, or you have a team that you work with?
I would say there's basically three ways, or maybe four ways, to approach this.
Okay.
You can try it on your own.
Good luck.
You know, there's the VA now has all the information, all the applications are online, but really it's complicated to read it all and to get it all done right. I don't recommend that.
Okay.
The second method, and the VA themselves will recommend this the most, is go to a veteran service officer who charges nothing. I need to be very careful. I don't want to diss veteran service officers, but really the history and records show that sometimes that can take a very long time.
They are overworked.
Sometimes go through, use a different methodology sometimes, where they file a notice of claim and they file things in dribs and drabs. You typically need to go to them. A lot of times the person who's needing care is not so able to do that.
Right.
So then I would say that the third way is what we do, and we partner with a group that are true experts in this. We partner with Veterans Home Care, Veteran Caregivers. There are others, and they will gather all of the information for a fully developed claim. So they work with the veteran or their families to gather the needed information. And they determine, based on everything they see, basically, is this person going to qualify? And the reason that's important to have a real expert looking at it first is because the VA, when you apply, you don't get approved right away. It can take 2, 3, 4 months before the VA approves it.
Something's not lickety-split in the VA. What? What?
It
has taken even longer in the past.
Yeah.
But once they do approve, if and when they approve, they pay retroactively to the date that a fully developed claim was submitted to them.
Nice.
So, and the way this benefit works, it drops in the veteran's account like Social Security. Now, be careful, because you can't spend it like you can Social Security on whatever you want. It has to be spent, and you have to keep proof that it's spent on medical expenses, which is home care. And we do that for people, and we're tracking everything. But the biggest benefit of doing it the way I'm suggesting is that the organization that we work with, once they determine, okay, this person's going to qualify, they provide an interest-free, fee-free loan. And so you can have the expense, you can start getting the care, and the company will just wait until 3 or 4 months down the line to be paid.
Okay.
But this is people are going to have questions. This is, I can't go into probably more detail than this in this podcast.
It's what I wanted. You do need help applying for it,
right.
I think.
Right. That's a key point, that get help. And the other way that Edith was alluding to, you can go to attorneys, elder law attorneys, and other companies that just know this benefit, know that they are going to, they're not technically allowed to charge you to apply for the benefit, but they will figure out a way to charge you in the thousands of dollars up front. And you also will be needing to start having the care so that you have enough expense that your net income is low enough. So you have to, with them, there has to be the family or the veteran needs to have a bank of money to get this started.
Mm. And it is a nice bank of money. I'm looking at the figures. It's over $2,000 a month for couples. That's not going to pay for everything, but my goodness, if you can have a few four-hour breaks during the week, it makes a significant impact for the caregiver.
Yeah, we won't be mourning your loss like we were earlier today, losing a caregiver before the person they care for.
Right, because of the stress.
Most often because of the stress, yeah.
Robin, I actually brought what the current benefits are. They go up every year, just like your Social Security goes up on a cost of living increase. So for a married veteran, currently it pays $2,727 a month, which all must be spent, but it's enough to might be 70 or 80 hours a month of care. So it's enough to really help. I've thrown a lot out there, enough to hear that it is complicated, and I would say get help.
Yeah,
but it's well worth it.
Yes, it is.
It's the difference between good care and, in some cases, no care or insufficient care.
Right. And that would be a big discount off of assisted living if that's what you
big
mean.
Big discount off of, yeah.
I started my agency by qualifying veterans for this benefit, and that was over 7 years ago. We still have some of our veterans that I qualified then as clients.
Wow.
One of them is about to turn 100.
Wow.
He's a World War II veteran. He's remarkable. He doesn't look like he's beyond 75. But for agencies that might be listening, an advantage of this benefit is that it provides a source for the care in the home that can last people the rest of their lives. And the unfortunate thing about this pension benefit is it's the VA doesn't publicize it a whole lot. So the estimates are that maybe 500,000 people in the country have this benefit, but there are literally millions of others who qualify and they just don't know it.
Which is exactly why you're talking to us today.
Yeah, it's important information. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. If someone qualifies for the veteran benefit that we've been discussing, can they also qualify for Medicaid?
Yes. That's a tricky question.
Mm.
It can vary state to state. The reason the answer is yes is because all of the money that this pension pays for, it's to be spent on care. So the person's asset situation for Medicaid qualification purposes hasn't changed. Now, while I say yes, and I've gotten definitive yeses, Florida Medicaid, sometimes when I've called, has been confused by this. It can be confusing to them because when somebody starts getting the pension, they might be getting, $2,300 more in their account. but they're not $2,300 richer for Medicaid qualification purposes.
Okay.
That's a good question, though. Mm-hmm. Another question people have, we haven't gotten to, but I think it's worth talking about, the VA CCN program, the VA Community Care Network program,
okay,
which our agency also does locally. We're in that network. There's a lot of community agencies that are part of this, and there's a different program. Surviving spouses don't get this. This is just for veterans who have qualified for care and are approved for care locally. A VA doctor basically prescribes that they need care in the home. Then they will determine through a social worker a specific amount of hours, and the VA pays the agency. So you're not involved in paying any money, and you can actually get that as well as the pension benefit. So it's a way, we've had that before too, to coddle together both things if the person is a veteran.
And usually people ask me about veterans benefits, and my first answer is go to the VA and ask for a social worker. Is that good advice? Because they know all the programs?
Yes. I got some other tips.
Okay.
I have an 800 or a toll-free number for the VA Health Resource Center.
Okay. What's that?
Call 877-222-8387. And you can get information about what benefits there may be available to you. They're sticklers about what's allowed and what's not allowed. There's a specific authorization that they issue to the agency that has to be followed. But again, a great thing. It doesn't, if you can get through the tape and the red tape and bureaucracy, it's well worth it. Free to the veteran.
Thank you so much for telling us all about these programs. Now, your website is flourishinplace.com. And what is your local phone number?
407-845-9797.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being here. And please make sure to subscribe to our podcast, Informed Aging. You can find us facebook.com/informedaging. And today's episode was recorded at Digital Broadcasting's podcast studio. That's it for now. We're looking forward to our next visit.